nice to be with that, I should say. All right. Well, we are continuing with our message now, and we are on our second week of this new message series called The Good News in Other Words. And so this week, we're continuing to talk about the good news. Last week, this week, and for the next several weeks, we're talking about some of the many ways that God's Word talks about Jesus. We're discovering different ways to share the gospel. We're talking about the different ways that God shares the good news of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection for you and me. And we're seeing some of the many things that means in our lives today. And so, for example, this is kind of the classic way we talk as Christians. To someone who feels guilty, we can share the good news of forgiveness. To someone who's lonely, someone who has no family, we can share the good news of adoption into God's family. To someone who is hurting, we can share the good news of healing. To someone who's stuck living in darkness, we can share the good news of enlightenment in Jesus Christ, and so on. And no matter what's your problem, no matter what's your pain, no matter what's your stress in life or your brokenness, we can say that Jesus is the answer. And so today we're talking about the good news of new beginnings. New beginnings. You know, when someone is living a hopeless life, when someone looks at today and they see no greater meaning or purpose in the day today than to just live one more day, that's a hopeless life, we can share the good news that St. Peter shares with us today from our reading, that God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so this week, as I was preparing this message, I came across a story of a man named Willie Watt. Today, Willie Watt lives in Holland, Michigan. He's the founder and the current director of an organization that's named Escape Ministries. And the purpose of his life today, the purpose of this organization, is to support urban youth, inner city youth, and to give them support and mentoring, connect them with jobs, to connect them with good social circles. Really, it's everything he can do to give a certain at-risk youth, giving them alternatives to joining the gangs that were part of his early life growing up. So Willie Watt's life wasn't always this way, participating in this ministry. He grew up on the west side of Chicago in a community called North Lawndale. His father was an alcoholic. His father was abusive. And his father helped actually to found a gang that they called the Black Disciples. They made money through drug trafficking, through extortion, through violent crime, and more. And Willie Watt himself joined the gang when he was just 11 years old. He spent a few years there. Through this time in his life, through his young life, he was beaten at times from members in the gang and others. He was molested. He was shot 3 times. He saw a friend of his murdered right in front of him. And he said in a 2016 interview, as an adult, Willie Watt said his attitude at that time had to be, never love, because love can get you killed. Never trust, because trust can get you hurt. And so he left the gangs in Chicago when his mother remarried. They moved to Michigan. He was still pretty young, but his life didn't get much better. When he was 18 years old, his parents put him out of his home because he wasn't doing anything with his life, and that's when he moved to Holland, Michigan, where he resides today. He married, but before long, he was cheating on his wife. She left him. And finally, when Willie Watt was nearly 40 years old, he was hopeless. He decided to end his life. He wanted to drive his car into a semi-truck. And he credits God for miraculously saving his life because he had a plan. He actually carried it out. He stepped on the gas to take his car into the path of this truck. He closed his eyes, and then when he opened his eyes, his car was sitting there stopped in the middle of the road. The truck had swerved to avoid him somehow. He said, there's no way the truck could have avoided me, but somehow it did. And the truck was coming to a stop nearby. He says God saved his life that day. Things didn't get better right away. To make the rest of the story short, he went to the hospital, but he was arrested. He spent time both in jail and as a homeless man. Then he was supported by a Christian coworker who brought him to church. And the people there prayed for Willie Watt. They showed him that they loved him, they cared for him, and on that day, with those Christians, Willie Watt was born again. Jesus, on that day, gave him a new beginning and a living hope, a change from his life before. And now I'll be honest with you, I don't think my life has ever been as hopeless as Willie Watt's. I've never felt that way. I suspect many of you would say the same thing, but I'm also sure that some of us here have been in that place before. Let me say this kind of an aside really quick. By the way, depression, that is something Christians deal with. Even suicidal thoughts and feelings, these are things that Christians deal with. And so if you or someone you know is struggling with that, support them. Get help. Talk to someone. You can talk to me. It's totally private. Talk to someone you trust, though. Don't struggle with those things alone, because God's people are here for you. So back from that aside, even if you don't feel like your life is as hopeless as Willie Watts was on that night, we have to recognize something. We have to recognize that if we are living our lives apart from Jesus, then we are still living hopeless lives. Let's go back to our scripture reading. Peter says in verse 3 that we are born into a living hope through Jesus. And then in verse 4, he describes that hope. He says what it's like. He describes that hope a little bit. Peter says that we are born into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And so we have to look at our lives and we have to see that if our greatest goal is just to live another day, that's hopeless, because one day we know we'll all perish. We can't keep that up forever. If we're living each day just to earn a little more wealth, a little more power, a little more respect from the people around us, that's hopeless. Because one day our homes and wealth, our businesses will all spoil. The respect we have will go bad. If we're living each day just to feel good, so that we don't feel bad even, and we live each day for pleasure we might find in front of the couch, or on the couch in front of the TV, pleasure we might find in food or drugs or alcohol or sex or things like that, that's hopeless, because that pleasure will always fade and we'll always keep chasing that pleasure. Only Jesus can give us this inheritance from the Lord that will never perish, spoil, or fade. And so apart from Jesus, our lives, apart from Jesus, the lives of those who are lost, apart from Jesus, our lives are dead ends. Apart from Jesus, our lives are hopeless. And apart from Jesus, we aren't living for anything that lasts. Paul, the apostle, he expresses both our problem and God's solution in a letter that he wrote to a young pastor named Titus. And Paul says it this way. He says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And so God has an answer for hopeless lives. God's answer is to end them, actually. But God doesn't end us along with our hopeless lives. God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And so God ends our hopeless lives in order to give us new birth, new hope, new beginnings in him. And this is not an incremental change. It's something that happens. He does in us, and it happens all at once. As St. Paul says, he says, if anyone's in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Through Jesus' death and his resurrection, God ends our meaningless, hopeless lives in order to give us something better. He gives us new birth into a living hope. He gives us new beginnings. And you know, there's two ways that we talk about new beginnings as the people of God. This is what Jesus does in us, but there's kind of two ways it happens. Because there's one great new beginning that you and I have when God brings you to faith, when he gives you new birth and you pass from death and you pass into life, new life in Jesus Christ. And then there's kind of little new beginnings that we make every year, every month, every week, even every day as a people of God, when we realize that we've fallen back into hopeless ways of living, hopeless actions, dead-end actions and patterns of living, and then we turn ourselves around and resolve to do better. And so let's talk about these two things for a moment, because they are different, and the way they work in our lives are different. First, let's talk about that great new beginning, new birth into a living hope. Have you ever heard a Christian talk about being born again, right? This is kind of what we're talking about. It's a new beginning, a new birth. Well, what's that mean? We need to pay attention to the way that Scripture talks about this new birth which Jesus gives to us. We can look back at that reading from the book of Titus. Paul says God saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Or we can look someplace else, Jesus' words in John chapter 3, and he says, very truly, I can tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. And so the place where God gives you and me new birth, the place where God delivers it to you and me today, is in baptism. Baptism is that washing of rebirth that Paul talks about. Baptism is being born of water and the Spirit, as Jesus says. And that's a good thing because baptism is something we can see. Baptism is something we can do. It's a place we can be sure that God has worked in our lives. You and I can talk to someone who is far from God, and we can talk to people who recognize the hopelessness of their lives, and we can say, do you want a new beginning? Do you want a living hope instead of hopelessness? Do you believe Jesus is the one person who can turn your life around? And we can say, I've got hope and life and new beginnings right here. Let's get some water. And we can baptize someone. We can say, God is ready to do your work in this life. And so baptism, that is new birth. That is our great new beginning. That is where God has given you and me new birth into a living hope. And we said there's another kind of new beginning for those of us who follow Jesus. And these are the smaller new beginnings that we need to make every day as Christians. Because we recognize that once we are baptized, once we have that great new beginning and that new life, you know, our trajectory, the path of our life is not just one straight line onward and upward. It'd be great if it was, but that's not the way the world works. We know that we fall back. We know that we make mistakes. We know that we sometimes even go back to living in those dead and hopeless ways of living. Our new life following Jesus is not always easy. Peter says it this way, in all this you greatly rejoice. You rejoice now, even though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These trials have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though it's refined by fire, says your faith is better than gold. The proven genuineness of your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And so the trials of our life don't end when we begin to follow Jesus. The difference is that now we can face them with hope, and we can rejoice in the big new beginning that God has given to us, even as we suffer those griefs and those trials. And so whenever we see that we have turned away from God, when we examine ourselves, we see that we have turned away from God and his goodwill for our lives, then we repent. We turn back to him. We make a new, a little new beginning as we seek to follow him wholeheartedly once more. And so there's the big new beginning that God does in us, and there are the little new beginnings we make as we follow Jesus. And so today we have heard the good news of new beginnings, new birth, new life, which speaks so deeply to those who know they've made a mess of their lives and they want to change. Apart from Jesus, we know that our lives can only be hopeless because we don't seek anything of purpose or lasting worth. But when Jesus enters our lives, when he washes away our old lives and he makes us new through baptism, then we become new people. And now we strive to follow him, to live as he teaches, and to make good on the new beginnings that we've been given. We look forward to, and we see this at the end of our reading, Peter tells us the point of all this. He says, though you haven't seen him, that's Jesus, right? Peter is talking to Christians who have not met the Lord personally. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him. And you're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And so we're looking forward to that last day when Jesus comes back and we'll get to experience the ultimate new beginning. We'll rise with new bodies to live in a new world, a new creation that he has made for us, free of pain and hurt and hopelessness, and we'll live with him. Amen. Let's stand.